What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Mandalorian Breakdown. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the saddest guy I know, Barrett Courtney.
Tim, what the fuck did we watch last night? Oh, man. We have a lot to talk about in terms of this week. Naturally, we missed Mandalorian last week because we're all kind of spread around the country doing our own things. Timing-wise, it just didn't work out last week. Something else that didn't work out coverage-wise, time was not on our side with, was covering The Bad Batch Season 2, which I felt like for a while I didn't really have much to say about it. It felt like it had a lot of early kind of Clone Wars vibes of just like random adventure of the week type of thing.
Where I'm stuck so far in that show.
Yeah. Let me tell you, when we took a break last week, I was traveling to L.A. playing Star Wars Jedi Survivor for preview. You can check that out over on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. I caught up on the last five episodes of Bad Batch Season 2. And let me tell you, fucking fantastic last third of Bad Batch Season 2. And that was not something I was really expecting, but shout out to following up on threads and storylines from Season 2 of The Clone Wars from like a decade ago, all the way to introducing a new and really creepy antagonist specific for the show, and leaning more into the decommissioning of clones, a more like secret plan behind all of that when it comes to the Empire. Really cool stuff. And yeah, the way it ended, it left me feeling empty in a good way. Very much like the ending of Rebel Season 2, where you just like, you feel this sense of just dread and defeat, and like, where does the crew go next? So I just wanted to shout out that really quick because we haven't really been able to talk about Bad Batch Season 2. So if you're like both Tim and I, where it's like, where are we going with Season 2 of Bad Batch? Stick with it because it does pay off in a lot of great ways. I think it would have been a great 8-episode season.
yeah, that's it. Feels that way. I'm like halfway through, I want to say, planning to finish it. But yeah, it's so far not at the top of my priority list. What about you, Pixel Circus's own Sage Ryan?
Hello, it's very good to see you all. I've missed you, especially because Barrett just mentioned that he came to Los Angeles. And, you can come visit? What's up?
I mean, like, Los Angeles is really big. And, like, I was there for, you know, like a day and a half, really. And then I had to play Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And then I had to play a game for preview, which is really cool. And then immediately went back to the hotel to write like three pages of notes. And then I fell asleep. And then I was out of the city. Yeah, now I'm here. So next time I'm in L.A., I do want to come see you and the crew. And, of course, Dagger and Carboni.
So I have Dagger today because Anthony is, of course, hosting Star Wars Celebration in London.
Ooh, everyone go support that.
Curl up on my lap. So it's very hard to show you, but he has the worst haircut I've maybe ever seen on a dog.
No, he looks so cute.
Anthony, while he's, I'm gonna send you all these photos. The worst haircut I've ever seen.
Kev, if you could bring him up later.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you. He looked so embarrassed when I saw him this morning. So I'll have Dagger for a while. But also, yeah, hey, I'm with Barrett. What the fuck did we just watch?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get into all of that.
I'm so excited to talk about it.
Because, of course, this is Kind of Funny's Mandalorian Breakdown. We are reviewing every episode of the show week to week. We have two episodes left. Only two episodes left. This is the one they decided to have as episode 6 of 8. Two episodes more. We will be here giving our thoughts each and every week for the following 2 weeks. Of course, you can get them on YouTube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com as a video. But if you want to get it as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. Whole bunch of cool stuff happening on the screencast side of things. We have trailer breakdowns for Barbie, for Blue Beetle, for Secret Invasion, for Across the Spider-Verse, Power Rangers Once and Always. Ton of stuff out there. In addition to that, we did a review of episode 1 of Succession that you could check out. We are not going to be doing that week to week, but if enough people show some love to that, we will try to make room for the finale, which I'm really excited about.
It got me to watch the first episode of the show.
Yeah.
Also while I was in L.A.
Yeah.
It was
a
fun time. Yeah. I haven't gone back to it since, but, like, that was a very good, like...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I had time to watch, you know, Succession. Yeah, very, very interesting show. did not expect it to be almost the same exact premise of Arrested Development, but just a little bit more serious.
Of course, you can get the show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Because of their support over there, they won't have to hear our ads from Rocket Money and Shady Rays like the rest of you fine people out there. But they also get to be the few, the elite, the proud, the Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Nathan Lamoth, and Al Tribesman. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. I want to get right into this. Now, we didn't talk about last week's episode.
Yeah.
So just for briefly, oh my God.
Look at that guy.
I see the unevenness, but he's still adorable.
Did he have his head?
did Carboni do it himself?
Yeah. He was trying to get him groomed before he left for London, and the groomer canceled on him.
Yeah.
So now he looks like this.
Why does he think he has the capacity to do this?
I mean, sometimes, you know, we do a little snip snip on Lulu just to even her out a little bit.
This was a big snip snip. He's a fluffy boy. This is not a little snip snip. Look at the shape of his head.
Yeah, he looks like Paddington Bear.
Yeah, I just went on a trip, and we had to leave the dogs. So we wanted to get them groomed before, but our groomer got sick. So right now, it's the longest they've ever went without a haircut, and both of them are just fluff balls. Like, Moose's tummy fluff is touching the floor.
Hell yeah.
It's like, it is a problem, everybody.
That's a free vacuum cleaner right there.
100%. That sleeps with me at the end of the night. It's disgusting. So anyways, last week's episode was wild. Yes. Sage, I want to start with you. What'd you think about it?
Okay, so the last time I was here, we were talking about just not really being quite sure what the direction of this show was, right? Like, what they're going for at this point, what the new normal is for The Mandalorian. And I'm just gonna say it, for some reason that direction was like a monster of the week crime procedural. It's giving like X-Files a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's giving like Angel.
A little SVU.
A little SVU. I was also going to say SVU. And then I was like, is it insensitive of me to say SVU specifically? So thank you for leading with that.
Don't worry. I'll always be the asshole.
I don't want to say, because here's the thing. I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it like I enjoy Star Wars. I was watching it going, wow, this is ridiculous. This isn't good at all. I love it.
Wait, sorry, are you talking about last week's episode or this one?
I'm talking about this one.
Okay, yeah. What did you think about last week's?
Last week was much more of a Mandalorian episode. We accomplished some plot, which is what made this the jump to this week so jarring, I think.
Din-jarring.
Every time I think I understand, I simply do not.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way I can describe it, the jump from last week to this week.
Barrett, what did you think of last week's?
Last week's was a fun episode. It felt more Mandalorian. It definitely felt more like the remnants of what was the Gina Carano show that
Rise of the New Rangers of the Resistance. Rangers of the New Republic.
Yes, there you go. It felt more. We've been talking about there have been some aftermath of the falling out of whatever that show ended up like getting canned or whatever. We don't really fully know. And it felt like there were remnants of that show in more of last week's episode, which was cool. You know, we got introduced to a live action Zeb, my boy from Star Wars Rebels, which was really surprising. And it was a very quick thing. And for fans like myself, that was a really like, it was a great reminder of just the little things that we might be building to, of getting reintroduced to certain cast members that were in only animated things beforehand. But yeah, it was interesting to see the bureaucracy again of the New Republic. And maybe I'll save this kind of conversation of my thoughts on what's going on in the background of the New Republic when we talk more about episode 6, last night's episode. But I had a fun time. You know, it came with we got the follow up to the fighting the pirates, the big Moss monster pirate captain. I thought, you know, he had some fun dogfights. It was cool to see the Mandalorians kind of saving this city that they, you know, were persecuted from and kind of chased off of this planet back in season one of Mandalorian. And I loved the Jon Favreau Mando doing the speech where they're like, yeah, why should we do this? And it's because this is the fucking way, you know? And, you know, we are Mandalorian and such is our code. And there are little moments like that that I really treasured from last week's episode. So, yeah, I had a really fun time. And, you know, like Carbone a few weeks ago, that was another show that I watched in my hotel room in LA on my phone. So,
yeah.
But I rewatched it last night just to kind of get reminded of what was fun about last week. But yeah.
I had a blast with last week's episode. To Sage's point, it felt like Mandalorian, and it felt like a lot of things I do love about Star Wars. I'm a big fan of the dogfights. I like the space battles, and I think that giving Din the N1 was a very awesome nostalgia choice for me, where I was like, oh, I love this. This is so cool. But now actually being a couple episodes into him having it and seeing the maneuverability it has and how different it functions compared to an X-Wing or TIE Fighters or things that we normally see, I really like the creativity of the flight choreography, and I love that they just kind of go for it. Like, this show continues to feel like a Star Wars cartoon come to life, and I think that
we'll talk more about that with 100% with this week's episode.
All the good and all the bad of what that means. But I think that the last week's episode had a lot of the good for me, at least, where I liked seeing the big pirate fight. I liked the scale and scope of everything that they presented to us, and I never would have thought we'd see something like that in live action. And, like, does it look movie quality? Does it look awesome? No, but, like, it looks good enough. And I'm having a great time with it. And I feel like they're having fun just playing with this world. And some of the stuff feels a little weird. Like, I want to love Carl Weathers. I really do. I want to love his story and everything going on. But I feel like it's always two steps forward, one step back. Where it's like last week's episode of him... I like where they're doing it narratively, where he's kind of like politically dealing with all this and like he is the leader, but it's also like, all right, bro, you probably shouldn't be leader.
Mm.
But then when you see like the whole city be evacuated and there's like 15 people, that's the type of stuff where it's like, oh man, like I'd almost rather have just not seen the people and just heard about it.
Right.
And what we see is just, it breaks the illusion of this being a actual lived in space.
Yeah.
And those little things I think are still not like being nailed by the show,
but then they're made up for like the moment with the armorer coming in and taking out the dude with the Gatling gun. It's so awesome.
So it's that thing, two steps forward, one step back. Overall, had a blast, had a really good time with last week's episode. But that now segues to this one, and I want to start off with it. All right, let me just start here.
Please.
I similarly had a blast with this episode, but it just, it's very bizarre. I never expected to see the cameos we did in this, and that's where I really started thinking about the Law & Order SVU, where it's just case of the week, cameo of the week, escalation of cameos, there's that guy, he's definitely the bad guy. There's no way that cameo is not going to be the bad guy just because of his celebrity. And that's kind of where we're at with Star Wars, which is a place I never thought we would be. And like, it was fun seeing Lizzo hanging out with Grogu. It was fun seeing Jack Black hang out with Lizzo and Grogu. It was fun. But what the fuck is Din Djarin's character right now? What's going on? This entire show to me, really, it feels like there's not growth happening. It kind of feels like there's end goals that they keep driving towards and then being like, oh, no, let's do this instead. Who's holding the Darksaber? You want it for a little bit? We need to get it to them eventually.
That's a full conversation.
But here it goes. Here it goes. Grogu, we need Grogu to get out of Din's hands. And oh, no, now Grogu needs to go back to it. It's like this weird thing where it's so case of the week that they're clearly building a story. This season has a story. We're going to look back on this in years and be like, it was about getting all the Mandalorians together.
And that's cool.
It's very cool.
But was there enough plot there to fill an 8-episode season? Where
clearly
it it definitely feels like, all right, we got to do like a adventure of the week. And it's funny that you say this of like you never expected Star Wars to be this. This is what the Clone Wars was. This is what the Clone Wars show was in the first few seasons of like, yes, there was stories there and interesting threads and... You know, what's going on with the clones and them finding their own identities as people? What's going on with, Palpatine kind of controlling both sides and getting deeper into that? The relationship between Annie and Obi, all of that stuff. But then, yeah, a lot of it was like, all right, we go to this planet, we need something from this planet. Oh, but they, this planet won't give us what we need to further our, you know, hopefully place in this war until we help them out with something. And then we get what we need at the end of the episode. And that's just what this entire last episode of Mandalorian was, is like, you know, Bo and Mando get to, what was it, Plazir 15. They kept saying it in different, like, pronunciation.
Plazir Star Wars.
Yeah. Plazio, I heard at one point. It was fucking weird. And so we need to find, essentially, Bo's old crew to try to convince them to come back and be with the more, like, religious cult to unite all of the Mandalorians. That's a cool plot. That's a cool, like, mission for Bo to be on, and Din helping her out with that. I'm really into that story. But first, let's go on this weird, wacky adventure, which has some interesting ideas, and I want to loop back to that with last week's episode of talking about the New Republic as a whole. But it, yeah, it was just so, like, this episode was like, hey, we already signed a contract with Jack Black, Lizzo, and Christopher Lloyd, and we have nowhere to fucking put them. Like, we just got to fucking write an episode for the three of them just to, like, have an episode with all three of them.
It felt like the calm before the storm, but, like, what is the storm? Sage, what do you think of this episode?
When they entered the palace, it already aesthetically didn't look like a Mandalorian episode. You could tell that we were doing a bottle episode. And, like, hey, that's fine. Love to go in a bottle episode. Yeah. Absolutely. But the reveal of Lizzo, of Jack Black, of Uncle Fester, Christopher Lloyd himself, felt like, okay, it's got to only be like a second, right? Like, they're only going to do this for a second. And I didn't expect them to be such big characters. They were the characters of the episode. And just in the way that last week reminded us that we were watching The Mandalorian, this one said, forget about it.
Yeah. And it's really
so wild.
It's such a left turn at the beginning of this episode, right? Where, mm-hmm. man, I thought for a second, the way, like, the opening was so quiet, you're getting introduced to this ship that's trying to find, like, a way to sneak in through a trade route, and then it gets approached by this Imperial ship, and the voice that they hail is very calm and deep and British, and I was like, no fucking
shot. It's the blue boy!
And it's especially when the captain of the ship was like, you know, like, I wasn't aware of warlords, and they respond with, like, I'm no criminal. And I was like, holy shit, we're getting Thrawn. Thrawn moment. And it's not.
It's Sasha Banks.
It's Sasha Banks. And like, and I was like, okay, that was, you know, expectations kind of went a different way. But all right, this episode's going to be about Bo's old crew and, like, getting them back. And, you know, maybe we'll get to see a bunch of them. And then, like, we don't see them again until the very end of the episode. I was like, why was this the cold open?
It was very, very bizarre. I mean, we have to get the Mandos back together because we split them up just a couple episodes ago. That's how this show works.
In the meantime, we have to stop off and let Baby Yoda do a front flip.
How many times is this boy going to flip?
And we're going back to saying Baby Yoda in this scenario. That's not Grogu. Ooh. Baby Yoda did a front flip into Lizzo's arm.
And she's just feeding him.
I love you to her. Like, I want to talk about, I'm happy to just, I want to have a moment about
Please,
the relationship between Lizzo and Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't help but picture these two people on set being like, wouldn't it be hilarious if we were just terrible? Like, if we were just disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, if we were just gross to each other in, like, a sweet way. Like, they played it very well. Look, is Lizzo an actor? No. No.
Oh, no. 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 She's Lizzo, though.
No. And she was space British, which is my favorite accent. Very occasionally British. Just like, you know, Leia was space British.
Yeah.
So, like, never argue against someone coming in and out of an accent in Star Wars, because canonically that is space British.
Yes.
If literally Princess Leia can come in and out of British, anyone can do it. So I cannot fault Lizzo for that.
Yeah.
But fully, as she started out, I was like, oh, she's doing an accent. And then I was like, oh, she's not doing an accent anymore. How interesting.
It also just like
being like, I love you, baby. Yeah, like, oh, sweet princess.
And you know what? Like, good for them. They had fun. But again, it was just such a weird, like, having this in the middle of The Mandalorian.
So we go from this whole, we now are Mandos, like that group of Mandos that we were introduced to in season 2, Bo-Katan's homies. They have an Imperial ship. We understand that now. Cool, great. Now we're going to take a detour to a different ship that they're talking to with some alien race, some woman. And then there is a Mon Calamari, and they're in love. The theme of this episode, everybody, is space love. And they're about to have a little space kiss. And like,
I love her little like tentacles, like a feel in his face. I was like, yeah, that's a great detail.
The Mon Calamari, Tom Holland's brother.
Oh, I like it was one of those like this sounds like someone I know, but like very vague on who that was. That's fucking awesome. And I love that we got introduced to, I think, a new Mon Calamari prince. If you like read the comics, you know, the Calamari are highly present in a lot of the Star Wars comics. So it was cool to kind of get some acknowledgement of like, yeah, there's like a whole like kingdom there and all that stuff. So that was cool little tidbit there.
The lines of dialogue of you have to go. No, I love him. We knew fate wasn't on our side. I love you, and I'll always have you. And then they do a weird alien kiss. What show is this?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Like, Sage, what'd you feel about that?
I just felt like, okay, are they just going to absolutely crush this? Like, it's going to get incredibly dark, and they're just doing this for a second, and they're going to, like, blow the ship up? Like, that was the only thing that I saw possible for the reason it was being so, like, weird we're doing a Romeo and Juliet thing. And there was no justification for it whatsoever. They were just like, no, we did it. Like, no, we were just doing that. Like, you thought we were going to, like, that was, like, a bit or something? No, we were, like, legitimately doing that.
Like, that was the point. And it's like, I do also love the beginning where she's in the, like, the tank. Then someone comes with like what looks like a martini and just pours it in the tank. Like,
that was sick. That was fucking cool as hell.
So funny. But yeah, we go from this bizarre love open scenario to then meeting Jack Black and Lizzo. Like, and Christopher Lloyd, who immediately you see him and you're like, oh, you're the bad guy of this episode.
Yep.
And Lloyd. Yo, shout out to him. Shout out to him because there's something about him that we all know. He's just
You can't not love him.
You fucking love him, right? But him being a separatist and this many years later still fucking rocking for that shit, shouting out Count Dooku, almost shouting out Anakin Skywalker.
I loved it.
I love it. And this is like kind of where I want to loop back to a little bit of episode 5. But yeah, first I want to talk about like, I love that the separatist movement where he's like, yeah, I survived the Old Republic. I survived the Empire. Because that's something that, you know, obviously is showcased in episode 3 of like, yeah, the separatists didn't come out on top. They were a movement that felt kind of justified in the failings of this the Republic that was slowly just kind of crumbling. And they're like, hey, we need to fix a lot of what's going on in the galaxy as a whole. And then the Emperor and Palpatine came in and co-opted that movement. You know, shout out to Tales of the Jedi for showcasing of like Count Dooku left the Order not because he wanted to be this big Sith, but because he felt like throughout a couple of those episodes of like, no, there's something really wrong with the Galactic Republic, the Jedi's place in the Galactic Republic, and felt genuinely like, I need to leave and fight for something greater than that. And then it's just unfortunate that, you know, Palpatine saw that exploitation and decided to co-opt this movement to, you know, get himself more power. It's not like the Separatists took over and made it the Empire. It's just the Separatists were essentially, like, wiped out, and then the Galactic Republic turned into the Galactic Empire. So I loved that he specifically calls out Dooku because it did feel like Dooku was, you know, he believed in the cause, I think, a little bit still throughout the Clone Wars and the movies. But obviously, at that point, he's also so fucking lost in the dark side where it's like it's a weird mix of the two that's going on within him. And then to bring it back to episode 5, I really loved seeing the whole going to Coruscant and being like, hey, we need resources to help this like sovereign planet who's not technically a part of the New Republic, and quickly seeing just how... We talked about in the Coruscant episode, I think episode 3, of, you know, they're falling back into some, like, Empire things here. It's not really – they're falling back into a lot of complacency of the Galactic Republic, which was a failing republic going into a slowly, like, fascist movement. And a big thing of that was kind of ignoring the Outer Rim. You go to Tatooine in episode 1, and there's just straight-up slavery happening in the Galactic Republic that Padme calls out that, like, this isn't legal. And it's like – it. that doesn't exist out here. Even though we're technically under the Republic, you guys aren't fucking around, right? And I love that we're seeing a little bit of that, again, in the background, kind of covered by whatever the fuck Jon Favreau wants to talk about every week.
And that's the thing, man, is like there's actually really good stuff here. And I think backing it up with Andor, and I think that this is what Mando is. And I think that we're now 3 seasons in. I don't expect it to change.
Yep.
But that's okay, because now that we're getting things like Andor that I think are building a backbone in a different direction, we do get all this weird zaniness and stuff, but then there's still these hints and stuff.
And backbone to filling out what this era of the galaxy is, where it's like when you go to the sequel trilogy, the kind of political landscape is nothing, you know? There's no explanation for anything. The New Republic gets fucking yeeted in, like, halfway through the first movie. And it feels so ethereal of the evil and the good fighting each other, where it felt like which is, like, a complete 180 from the prequels that was really trying to reflect what the political landscape of the United States was at the time in the early to mid-2000s. And I love that we're getting little hints of it. I don't know if they're going to drive it home in any successful way of, okay, we beat the bad guys. Now let's just keep doing what we used to do. And I think that makes a very easy, open way of the subtle things of people who are, you know, on the opposite side, who, you know, love fascism, can see that and be like, oh, they're just going to do what they used to do. Oh, that's easy to take over. We did it once. We'll just do it again. And I love that they're slowly possibly building to something like that to make it make a little bit more sense of where the galaxy is by the time we get to the sequel. So
all that happens.
Yeah, all that happens.
All that happens. And then in Space Epcot, we had Jack Black ask Lizzo if she wants to take a little sip. Sage, when we get back, I want to hear all the rest of your thoughts. But real quick, let's take a word from our sponsors. Shout out to Evil Dead Rise for sponsoring this episode. You can get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. People are saying this movie is absolutely terrifying, and I personally can't wait to see it in a theater, because there's you know, few things in life are as special as watching a real scary horror movie surrounded by people freaking out with you. Moving the action out of the woods and into the city, Evil Dead Rise tells a twisted tale of two estranged sisters played by Sullivan and Sutherland, whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, if I had a nickel, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. New Line Cinema and Renaissance Pictures present a return to the iconic horror franchise, and we are hitting entirely new levels of fear here with this one. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this, but wow, you definitely should. You look like you need a little bit of fear in your life. And then you can go to Evil Dead Rise Movie .com to get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com. Sage, go for it.
Okay, now this game, this whole thing is all fun and games, right? We're having a good time. We're meeting Space Jack Black, Space Lizzo. They're smooching, I don't know. And then they decide that they're going to establish some real boomer politics out of Din Djarin. We, of course, have to investigate what's going on. Why are the droids malfunctioning? We go to, like, the underbelly of the planet to meet with the people who manufacture the droids. And one of the first notes on the political questionability of this episode that I have here is hardest working species in the galaxy. That was a weird thing to say.
It was really weird.
Real weird thing to say. And the way, I mean, like, look, there's ways to read into it and ways to let it go, but it is just deeply confusing to me why it was said and why it was necessary. Saying something like, hey, insulting their work is like saying the droids are malfunctioning is their fault is incredibly insulting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I get where you're going with that. I absolutely understand that. That makes sense. Saying they're the heart, like saying to them, you know, you're known to be the hardest working species in the galaxy, kind of sets up, he was acting real Southern. I agree with Shane Roberts in the chat. Let me head into the direction of, are these droids people and are we giving them personhood and what is the relationship between them? And you know, that's a very interesting conversation to have, right? And a lot of sci-fi tackles that conversation of at what point are we giving enough autonomy to these people? Are we giving enough artificial intelligence or intelligence to droids that they also require a level of autonomy? Mm. Now that's a conversation to be had. But Star Wars said, nah, I don't think so, actually. I don't even think they want it. I think they like it. I think they honestly like being in servitude. I think that if they had a choice, that's what they would choose. The droid bar was wild.
It was pretty cool to see.
Like, no, when you walk in, it looks cool, but that's where I thought we were going to be like, oh, we're seeing like
the uprising that was hinted at in Solo.
So you're going to see the uprising. And then in addition to just like them living rich and individual lives without like people around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, you don't even think about robots existing a lot of the time when people aren't around and seeing them just interacting with each other and just interacting in a space.
But before they even walk in, like in the alley, like there's like one droid, like kind of like hidden on another, like with his hand on the wall. It's like, okay, all right. There's a little
rich lives of droids, you might think.
Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Instead, they get in there like, oh, no, we only want to help. People are good. We love people. And they also drop the line of, we're afraid of being replaced.
They're going to take our jobs.
Fully gave somewhere between the horrifying, like, QAnon replacement theory and they took our jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, honestly, a lot of it felt like a lot of things in Mando normally do, which is, we want to have these moments or these things happen. So it's like they wanted to have all the droids together. They wanted to have a reason to bring back the battle droids and all of that. They wanted to have the Ugnaughts again so that they could have the line of what did they say?
I have spoken.
I have spoken. They wanted to be able to bring that back and all that. So the way they did that was coming up with these plot points that just, again, would have felt bizarre in any episode of this show.
Yeah.
Felt extra weird. Next to Lizzo.
And it's like,
short lives. It's the least we could do.
And they have an interesting setup, especially when Christopher Lloyd is like, you know, they've built their society too much on essentially slave labor with all this. And it would crumple. And it's like, okay, like maybe they're going somewhere cool and philosophical of like maybe society shouldn't be built up like that. And then to 5 minutes later, the droids are like, we want to help. We love doing this. We actually have no autonomy. This is what we were created for. It's the least we can do. It fell on such a flat, weird note. And especially when you have moments like when they go to the area where they know the next malfunction is going to happen. And Din is kicking all of the battle droids and the one wakes up and they start running after it. And the kind of the battle droid who was like looking over all of the production is like, you should have left him alone. There was a moment like that where it's like, he fucking cared. He has feelings about things. And it was just such a weird kind of whatever. And then on the top note of like bringing it back to Christopher Lloyd being a separatist and Bo-Katan knocks him out and goes, politics. And The Clone Wars had a lot of things to say about the political climate of the mid 2000s. Some very unsuccessful, some very successful. Very natural when you have a bunch of different writers coming in throughout the series as a whole. And I find it interesting that I was looking into the production of this season of like Jon Favreau was the one who wrote all 8 episodes. Someone consulted on episode 3, and then Filoni consulted on episode 4, and is consulted on episode 7, next week's episode. And so this is really just all Favreau. And I kind of feel it at this point where it's just like we're getting kind of no interesting political statements, very boomer politics, like Sage, you were saying, and monster like of the week
might
shit.
Well have been like woke bullshit. Like,
yeah.
It's funny too because I feel like it's almost they're not saying anything that's like politically relevant to us. It's more like they're referencing Star Wars fans. It is referencing like the politics of the prequels being stupid, you know. And it's like I feel like we're just past Star Wars hating itself, or at least we should be.
We should be,
you know. And like I feel like we're just in this like constant cycle of trying to like course correct and like apologize for the things that whoever's making this Star Wars project didn't like about the last Star Wars project. So like my read on the politics, like that line was more like a prequel, like ding as opposed to like actually like a political statement. But the problem is when you're backing that with this whole droid thing, it then becomes political in an awkward way.
Yeah.
It has to be. Like, it has to be. And Star Wars is always, and this is one of the things that I know that anytime we talk about things like this or anybody talks about things like this, people will be like, keep your real world politics out of it. It's literally called Star Wars. Star Wars is inherently and always has been political. It has always been a mirror of, like, real world politics and Star Wars themselves, like, separately. Like, George has said it and Disney Star Wars has said Star Wars is political. Mm-hmm. So then you're like, okay, yeah, absolutely. We're exploring these questions. And it just felt like this particular show kind of thinks that's a joke, that Star Wars is political.
And I find it interesting, again, looking at the production, this season really feeling like Favreau, and especially coming off the interview that he did a little bit ago where he's like, yeah, I don't see an end to this show. I want to do this show forever. And it's like, well, what story are you going to have to tell? And yeah, and I think we're seeing it. This episode, to me, is if Favreau gets to keep doing the show while Filoni is actually
we're not going to abscond. No. It's Filoni and Favreau, man. You can't separate them. He is in this. This is him. This is what he's done. This is
no,
Clone Wars.
But this is the difference, Tim, is that Filoni, I feel like, was more involved in the first two seasons because they needed this to be the blank slate to build up what he actually wanted to get to. He's been working on Ahsoka. I feel like he's going to be more involved with Ahsoka. And looking at the production of the writing, Filoni's not really attached to any of it. Like, yeah,
but he hasn't been for the other seasons either. I think he's as involved as he's ever been with this stuff. It's their vision. They're together the ones in the interviews saying it's going to last forever. Like, it's not a Favreau thing. It's Favreau and Filoni.
I think Filoni is probably in the future, if I'm wrong about this season, maybe he is as involved as he was the last couple seasons. I don't think that's the case, especially with all the shows that they have set up that he also has to be kind of looking at now and not just The Mandalorian like it was at the set of all of the Disney Plus shows. I think we're going to get less out of this show, the interesting lore stuff, the more interesting political commentary, because Favreau just wants to do his weekly cowboy show where there's, you know, weird adventures with Lizzo and Jack Black every week.
I do want, like, here's the thing. If you pitch to me a Star Wars show that it's like, hey, we're doing it like a crime procedural, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're doing SVU, X-Files, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, mostly Angel. You know what I mean? Like, it's feeling very Joss Whedon at this point, which, get wrecked, Joss Whedon, but moving on.
Yep.
If you pitched that to me as a Star Wars show, I would be like, oh, hell yeah, absolutely. Is it trying to live in front of us find that place that is off-putting to me? Because season one didn't feel like that. And season two didn't feel like that.
I think they did.
I'm okay with that show existing. I don't think it did to this extent by any means. I think that, like, to me, it was like a boy and his son show. It was your God of War story. You know what I mean? Like, it was that, like, it was about Din, and it was about Grogu, and it was about Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Frog ladies.
Right, about frog ladies.
But no, my point is like...
But the frog lady still... The frog lady episode, yeah, is a weird episode, but still led to, okay, now we're meeting Bo-Katan. Now we're, like, actually introducing more interesting lore stuff that's going to build out this section of the galaxy. And I don't think we're going to get that. We got that a very tiny bit in this episode of like, yeah, we got to go on this adventure to, actually meet up with the rest of Bo's crew. But I also, like, I can see in season four that not being the case, they just go on adventures and nothing's really accomplished. It's just like, all right, now we're at this backwater planet that's newly created. Sorry?
It's giving DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm.
I mean, yeah. That's where we're at, man.
I loved that show. I loved Legends of Tomorrow. It's not a good show, but I love it.
Also,
and I feel like this episode felt like not a particularly good show, but I loved it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I had a great time.
I said before the show, I was like, I this was not a good episode of The Mandalorian. This was it would have been a forgettable episode of The Clone Wars. But yeah, we got to talk a little bit about the end of the episode here. Grogu helps.
Fuck it. Yeah, who cares?
Grogu helps Lizzo cheat in a game of weird space bocce ball, like, whatever the hell, bowling thing.
Alice in Wonderland shit with the queen.
Yeah, it was super weird.
She would like have
Grogu
little
gets
animals.
Fucking knighted.
Grogu gets knighted by Lizzo. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And that's the moment where I was like, this is the show Favreau has been wanting to make the entire time. And that's why I feel like more of Favreau's DNA.
I'm blaming Filoni.
I would not, personally, but.
Baby is knighted.
Yeah, he gets fucking knighted. Lizzo, you know, Christopher Lloyd calls out the fact that Jack Black used to be an Imperial officer, whatever his position was. And Lizzo's like, but who of us haven't made mistakes? Who of us haven't been fascist before, you know? He's so cute and charming now.
For a little bit.
And we've built our entire society off of none of us having to work. And then we finally get to the interesting stuff of like, all right, Mando and Bo, they're meeting up with Bo's old crew. Sasha Banks is there. I almost texted Cool Greg at 12:30 in the morning to be like, yo, your girl is back. And then like they approach and, you know, we made the Letterkenny joke a couple weeks ago of the skids just kind of dancing in the parking lot. They had two Mandalorians fucking playing catch in like this big field. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
It's
right
hilarious
now.
The amount of times they're showing way too many people in these outfits just in the middle of nowhere doing
being
nothing.
Dorks. They're being dorks.
They're being dorks, man.
Totally dorks.
Bo challenges her last.
His name's Axe.
Axe, fuck yeah. challenges him to like a battle. And there was more of a proper term from this, wasn't there, Sage? At least. From what I remember of Rebels, they're like for the Mandalorian of like an actual like challenge to find new leadership, and I feel like they had more of like an official term for it that I thought she was going to say. Maybe I'm like misremembering something, but I feel like Sabine would kind of pull that Trump card out a couple of times, but then she's like, "I'm going to challenge you," and I was like, "That feels a little too vague for what the Mandalorians specifically do."
No, they did have a thing. You're absolutely correct, but I don't feel like this show cares. It was a kind of blood duel. They called it something a blood duel.
Yeah, or something like that. And to get back leadership, to be like, hey, y'all not aren't allowed to be mercenaries anymore. We're uniting the Mandalorian.
Yeah, it was a something blood duel, and it was like a formal, it's like in Avatar, you have your Agni Kai, right?
Yes, exactly.
and fully Axe is giving Jet, by the way. 100%. But yeah, I think that everything about this was a little bit phoned in. It felt like we did the bottle episode and then it was like, we are actually two episodes out from the end. We do actually need to hit like one last story piece real quick. So the battle was strange. It felt short. It felt a little bit rushed.
Yeah.
It was like kind of cool. Like there were some badass moments, but it was strange in that.
I think if this episode was more about this stuff, the fight itself could have been pulled off a little better.
Oh, totally. It should be awesome.
Yeah.
But instead, they introduced this new character out of nowhere for her to fight. When it,
well,
like,
not a new character. He was in season two.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I mean, like, background character.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, cool. It's this guy. Like, what's weird to me about this show overall and, like, the Grogu, Luke stuff that happened in Boba Fett.
I think the stream is down.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it is. I'm trying to get it back up.
Kev's on. We're still recording, though, right?
Well, yeah, we're still recording.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Doing the Wi-Fi switchery bullshit.
So the Grogu Luke stuff that happened in Book of Boba Fett, we've covered a million times of how awkward that all was, right? And then just where the Darksaber ends up, where, okay, Din has it, and then Bo-Katan's here. She's lost her people. Inevitably, we know she's going to get back. This reminds me of what I like least about WWE, where you're watching stuff, they have a good storyline going, but you start placing things where you're like, okay, cool, there's the Royal Rumble, and then there's WrestleMania. You start to see the story, you're like, the championship's going to happen at WrestleMania. Nothing, it's never going to happen otherwise. But then people get injured and things happen and they have to just last minute be like, well, that guy's going to beat that guy. I know it doesn't make sense, but like we have to get where we need to go.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's the Mandalorian, is we have to get where we need to go. And it's like, well, you only need to get there because you put yourselves in this position where.
And then you didn't build it back up in a way that's satisfying in any way. Really quick, I do want to say about the fight. The fight had some cool moments, had some not, like, kind of whatever moments. I did love when they landed on one of the ships. And then one of them fell off, and they like pulled him down, like off of it. I just hit my arm really bad, so that hurts a lot. But probably not as bad as like landing on that ship.
Cool moments in the fight for sure.
The Darksaber. I wrote down my notes. Didn't found a loophole, baby. Harry Potter wand logic, where it's like, at the end of Harry Potter, he defeats Voldemort because. Oh, the wand remembered that I disarmed Malfoy because Malfoy disarmed Dumbledore. And you can kind of, like, explain that by being, it's magic. And they found the same fucking bullshit kind of, like...
Fucking bullshit.
I got taken down by a weird robot underground, and it defeated me in combat, and then Bo defeated it in combat. So that's, like, pretty much the same thing, right? And I wanted one of the Mandos in the background to be like, no, kick his ass!
Yeah, you know? That's not the way. Go, Sage.
We spent this whole season, like, leading up to this Darksaber and, like, trying to figure out what the ruler of Mandalore is. This is a huge plot point. And it also feels like it's weird that Din didn't say anything sooner then.
Yeah.
He's just been holding on to it and was like, I mean, technically, like, oh, okay, I guess your thing didn't work. So I've been keeping this one in my back pocket, which is the ability to give you the Darksaber and the key to ruling Mandalore.
And I was really hoping, especially like,
wanting to lead a monarchy, said, ugh, politics. Sorry.
Yeah. I really wanted, after that kind of like whatever fight, I was really hoping Din to be like, you know what? No, like, yeah, let's fight for it. We don't need to fight to the death for it, but like, fucking let's fight for it. And if you don't beat me, you don't get it. And like, I thought that would have been something interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. Din is something to me that I'm just kind of perplexed by in this season, where I'm like, who are you? What is your character? Like, what is happening with him? Where it's kind of just things happening around him and him going places that causes other things to happen. And it just feels like a disservice because I was with him emotionally at the end of season two when he gives Grogu away. They earned that. There are moments in both season one and two where the episode with the comedian, what's his name? The bald guy.
Yes.
You know I'm talking
Christopher
about.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. You know? And that, there's these moments, any time that Pedro Pascal's face is seen, right? Taking off the helmet, we get kind of endeared to him and like we feel like Din, the Mandalorian, is growing not just in how dope his armor is, but in who he is. And in this season, it kind of just feels like he's letting a lot of people borrow things about him for a little bit, and then he just gets them back without any advance. Bill Burr.
He doesn't have a personality this season.
Yeah, and it's a bummer, because I don't think that many people do, besides Lizzo.
it's something that I've been going kind of back and forth on, because I've seen a lot of Twitter sphere kind of be like, who the fuck is Mando this season? And while I definitely see that, like, I still see the thread of what the interesting story there was to tell this season, and we'll see if, you know, it pays off in these last two episodes of, you know, his goal, his personality now is helping bring the Mandalorian together and getting back to Mandalore. But yeah, as far as, like, personal growth or anything, I don't think there really is any, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but yeah, it does, it is jarring of like, what is your place in this show now that is your show?
But see, my thing is, I'm okay with him not being the lead and him not having all this, but then who is? Because if the answer is Bo, it's simply not. Like, Bo is kind of like, from the beginning of this season to where she is now, they took things away and gave it to her. Like, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
Like, took things away in one episode and then just gave her things back in another one. And it's like, all right, cool. And this episode ends with her hero posing. And I'm like, I don't think you deserve this.
The two of them are just kind of going back and forth. Like, what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do today?
Yeah.
It was like the growth for her character was seeing the Mythosaur. Mm-hmm. And that's like, all right, the armor's like, all right, now I believe in you. Cool moment. You know, like, especially at the end of last week's episode where she allows her to take off the helmet. She walks both ways. Loved all the memes where, you know, people were posting of, like, Din finding out that you could walk both ways and all of that. And I don't know, man. We have two episodes left.
So here we are.
Yeah.
To wrap this up, we have two episodes left. Clearly, they're getting all the Mandalorians that we know together. There's one Mandalorian we haven't seen yet that we're going to.
Filoni, coordinated with next week's episode, so hopefully.
I looked up what the duel was. It is a Tong blood duel. It is an ancient Mandalorian tradition where two combatants duel to the death to reserve matters of honor.
Well, I guess they didn't battle to the death, so I guess you can't call it that. But I don't know. Like say it to introduce the stakes and then make the moment at the end where she chooses not to kill him feel more important of, like, yeah, we've killed each other too much already, which is, yeah, like, that's a very true thing that we've seen throughout Clone Wars and a little bit of Rebels. And so, yeah, like,
that was just a playground fight.
Yeah, it really was. And yeah, it's. I've always liked Bo from Clone Wars, and I think the bit of where she's at in Rebels, she in terms of how they write for her, she's like a really cool kind of supporting character, and like to transition her into a leading role, I think is a good idea. But I don't think they're really nailing it in any sort of practice. Because yeah, if this sort of transitions into more of her show, like I'm down with that, because then when she helps out the old crew that eventually will probably get introduced in Ahsoka and other shows, that's going to be sick as hell. Where she's like, yeah, here I am, and I'm the leader of the Mandalorian, and we're coming to help y'all. But
so
two episodes left.
Two episodes. I imagine we'll get Boba, and then we'll get Moff Gideon back at some point. But
Sabine.
Are we going to get a big fight?
Omega.
Omega.
Oh, again, and a shout out to Omega. Fantastic cliffhanger for season two. Oh, okay. Bad Batch season two fucking rips, let me tell y'all, for a third of it.
All right. Well, let us know in the comments below what you thought about Jack Black's outfit. And because I personally fucking loved it. A little Lando swag there. Sage, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at NotSage or Pixel Circus. It's Too Early, which I usually host with Anthony, is offline right now due to Anthony being in London. But our new show, Salt and Serpent, just came out. So if you like tabletop/D&D type things and hot gay pirate girls, check out Salt and Serpent.
There you go. And also, go support Carboni. He's not on the show here because he's hosting Star Wars Celebration. That is so incredible. So go make sure you just support all.
What's one thing you want to come out of Star Wars Celebration?
I haven't even thought about it for a second. That's a really good point. We're probably going to get some trailers.
Ahsoka trailer?
Yeah.
I want a fucking date, too. I want a date.
Okay.
I feel like that needs
to come this year. Well, let's think about this just real quick. We have June 21st, I want to say, for Secret Invasion. Right. So I'm going to imagine an August, maybe a late August for Ahsoka.
Okay.
Huh.
Sage, anything you're looking forward to, want to see out of the Celebration?
I could see some hard and fast dates. Absolutely, I agree, for some of the upcoming releases that have been announced. I would like to see. I would like to see some Ahsoka footage. I would like to see some.
Yeah,
some,
that's not just exclusive to the Celebration. Like, release it online.
Like, I think they gotta give it to us.
Yeah, I think it's slam dunk on it. Yeah, we're getting Ahsoka. I think it's gonna be awesome. I think we're gonna be real into this trailer, but. Let's wait. Let's see. Will we react to that trailer? Of fucking course we were. Yeah. We're kind of funny, baby. Anyways, I love you all. See you next week for the penultimate episode of The Mandalorian Season 3. Goodbye.